Grace to you in peace from the one who makes all things, who redeems all things and sustains all things. Amen. I don't know about you, but for the last few weeks, I'm finding it increasingly difficult to watch the news. Each morning, I get up about 5 o'clock, and I turn on our news, the local news, Channel 5. And I do so because it's really more entertainment than real news. Playful, relatively young, beautiful people talking about stuff. And as the 7 o'clock hour creeps closer and closer, and it's time for the national news, I find myself getting more and more anxious. On that newscast, we see lines of Coptic Christians lined up on a beautiful beach in orange suits. And behind them, sinister black hooded figures. And you know what they're there for. I know what they're there for. Reports of children abducted in Nigeria and war in the Congo. It is news after news after news about the brokenness of the world. It's getting harder and harder to watch. It came home especially a couple of days ago as we began to look here at LCH at all of our staffing issues that we need to do and the people that we need to hire and all of the annoying things that happen at the beginning of every year. And I found myself growing grumpier and angrier and less interested in coming to work, sort of feeling overwhelmed. And then I thought of the Coptic Christians kneeling on the beach and the real brokenness of the world. The stuff I see every day is more like the morning news. Just fluff, broken fire hydrant, a car crash where two cars bumped on the highway and delayed the traffic for 2.5 days. The stuff in my life and most of our lives really isn't all that traumatic, although certainly many of us have gone through so much. And maybe that's why this night is so incredibly important. In the gospel lesson for today, for this evening, Jesus reminds us about how to be in relationship with God and how to pray and how to begin to make sense of the ashes of our world. Every generation or so, someone says, this is the end. It cannot possibly get worse. They said so in the Crusades. They said that in the persecution of the Christians. They said that in the persecutions of the Jews in the 70s and the burning of the temple, 70 AD. They said it again and again. They said it in World War II and the Holocaust. They said it over and over and over again. It cannot possibly get worse. And then it does. But in the midst of it all, God remains. I was struck by a woman whose, I think it was her nephew, was one of the ones killed on the beach that day, who urged us to never forget the presence of God. That even in that place of spilled blood, washing in the sand, God was also present there. That though evil in its black hoods seemed always ready to pounce and always in control and always the one who will win in the end, only God truly endures and remains steadfast and full of love. It's hard to remember that. We get so used to saying our prayers out loud and crying and crying out aloud and saying our prayers in ways that the world can hear and crying out against injustice, and yet the greatest witness of God's presence comes not in that, but in the confession of a relative who says that neither knife nor violence nor hate can overcome the faith of the one who was killed. Somehow in the ashes, there remains the kindled fire. Have you ever spent the night around a campfire on a beach or in the forest, and it's so beautiful and warm? There's cold at your back, but your front is almost ablaze till you turn around. And the dew seems to be pushed back by that wonderful fire, like God's word, still and clear in the middle of a wonderful church service. You feel that warmth and that joy of a life well lived, and it's all right there. And you stare into the flames, at least I do, to the point where I become truly mesmerized. Almost contemplative. And then you go to bed and you crawl into your tent and you sleep for a while. And when you wake up in the morning, the fire is out. There are just ashes. Until you walk up and you dig around a little bit in underneath that cold layer of ash, you blow out like God's spirit, and almost like a miracle, almost in the most unexpected way, there begins to be a little whiff of smoke, and the memory of that fire becomes rekindled. And the logs are put on and the fire grows again and again. And finally, at the greatest moment of every camping experience for me, of every time I have ever camped, the pinnacle of every moment is when the coffee is done. From the fire that was dead. I think in the middle of all of these world events, the coldness of the ashes will not endure. The ashes, in fact, that are upon our foreheads tonight are not the cold and dead ashes of those who put on sackcloth and cry out for God so that others will see who they are, but they are ashes of a fire ready to be rekindled in God's Spirit. No more than the cross and the shape of it upon our foreheads signals just the death of Christ, but also that the resurrection will happen again and again, and that God will bring life in the midst of death, even in our death. The fire will indeed be rekindled and is being rekindled, that fire of hope in the midst of hopelessness. That fire of peace when it seems almost impossible. When the forces of pain and destruction and disrespect and total and complete disregard for human life seem to be growing and growing out of control, there still remains there still remains hope in you and in me and in people around the world who know that life matters. That fire of peace is being rekindled, and that fire of love is being rekindled in God's people everywhere. Muslim and Jew and Buddhist and Lutheran and Catholic, just keep talking. That kindled fire that comes in the words of hope, that the mighty armies described in our first lesson will not, in fact, overwhelm us. That the death of Jesus will not be final. And that underneath the cold ashes on our forehead is the fire of God's grace, alive and moving in the Spirit, and calling each of us back into God's joy. I don't know that it will make it any easier to watch the news tomorrow, but it will make it easier and more fruitful to put the craziness and violence of this world into perspective. That our lives together are more than simply going to work and going to worship and making friends and being married and raising children. But that we are on into the vastness of all of God's creation. That our call as God's people, crosses on our foreheads, ash and oil, are to be God's people in and for the world. In prayer and action and love. And if that love begins to rekindle in us the joy of living, maybe that Spirit will blow on those embers and love will grow everywhere. Amen.